Thank you for the opportunity to be able to stand up here and present God's Word. And as Brother Tracy said, it's a serious thing.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing to be taken lightly.
That's right, brother.
And I just want to thank him for the opportunity to be up here. You know, I first heard Brother Tracy. He preached at my grandmother Tracy in Providence Baptist. And I wasn't there, but I heard the tape. And was listening to the tape on the way to revival in the Cornish Mountain. Got up there and said, "Hey, Tim, I told this." He said, "A lot like that guy on that tape." And I said, "Man, what's your name?" He said, and that was him. So I just want to thank you, brother, for the opportunity and for being up here today. First, I want to just share my testimony, let you know where I came from. And I want to thank you, brother, for the good testimony there and all the good testimonies. I thank the Lord I got a testimony.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, man, I'm 26 years old now. And ain't been long got saved. Ain't been long called to preach. And
bless you, Lord.
I seen something in my daddy when I ain't never seen before.
Yeah.
He He kept bothering me, and everybody told me he didn't got changed and got saved, and something was different about him. I just told him, you know, he can fool y'all, but he can't fool me, because I knew him. And me and that man growed up together.
Yeah.
And long story short, I went to the church on Father's Day, and the preacher went to preach, and it seemed like he was preaching to me.
Yeah.
Seemed like he was plowing my road. He's right up my alley. He just digging as hard as he could dig. And I was thinking somebody done told him what I've been doing.
And bless him.
He got to preaching. I said, "If I ever get up from here, I bet I'll never come back." And I got up from there and left. That wasn't up with conviction. But I seen my daddy stand up testifying. I said, "Who's that man testifying there?"
Yeah.
I ain't never seen him testify in front of nobody. Say nothing in front of nobody. I want to thank you, Daddy, in front of everybody here for being a good example, brother. Not giving up on me.
Amen.
I want to thank the Lord not for giving up on him, not giving up on me.
Amen.
Wasn't long after that we got to went to a meeting and at Providence, matter of fact, and the preacher got to preaching. It's about the same way. He's preached at my road too. So like everybody knew just what I was doing, just how wrong I was living, just how deep sin I was. And
bless you, Lord.
And that left out of there with sweaty hands, just clammed up, just didn't know what to do and where to turn. I knew there was something at that altar I needed. I just didn't know how to get it, you know, didn't know what to do. And that pride had me back a lot, you know. Well, a day went by, and a long day, and it just kept bothering me. And I said, "Lord, I got to talk to somebody that knows what's going on here. I got to talk to somebody." I wasn't close to no preachers then. And I went to an old man. His name's Brother Hancock, and this old saint of God. And I got talking to him, got sitting at the table, and I asked him, I said, "Brother Hancock, can you be saved twice?" He said, "Well, I don't know if I can answer that." He said, "Well, I thought I got saved one time in a church. They called an altar call, and they said, if you're lost, raise your hand." So I raised my hand. He said, "And if you want to get saved, repeat after me." So I repeated after what the preacher said. And he said, "Hey, you know you're saved." And I thought that was all I had to do. Didn't remember a time, a place, a change, nothing that happened, nothing revealed to me, none of the fruits of the Spirit. Nothing said, "Hey, you're saved." You know, it was just a saying. And about that time, my daddy pulls up, and there is a men's, they're going out to eat that night at the Huddle House. And I said, "I got stuff I got to do. I can't go eat with y'all fellas. So I'm going to head to the house." I got to the house, wasn't nothing going right. Couldn't do a thing.
Bless
it had been probably 30 minutes. I went there and jumped in the shower, come out. I called him up and I said, "Order me something to eat." He said, "Well, we just got here." I said, "Well, order me something. What you want?" I said, "It don't matter. I ain't really that hungry. I just want to come up there with y'all fellas." So I got up there. And long story short, we got around talking after we got through eating. And there was a lot of stuff on the table sitting there. And my dad was beside me and Brother Hancock's across from me and Brother Robinson in front of me. And we got talking about the Lord. And I was just all shook up on the inside. I was bad, shook up, like old soda pop, you know, shook up, just about ready for the top to blow. By that time, Brother Hancock says, "Well, what makes you doubt it?" I said, "I just don't know. I don't see what y'all got. You know, I ain't got that. I don't remember a change, I don't remember a date, I don't remember nothing about it." At the time, he moved that stuff out of the way. I could see him clearing the path. It's just like the road being paved. I said, "Lord, help me." I didn't know why I was just so shook up. He said, "Brother, you wanna make sure?" I said, "Yeah, I do." And the time I grabbed his hand, the very moment I got saved, it was like a burden lifted off me like none other. Wasn't about 8 months later, I got called to preach. I just want to thank the Lord for it. If you would, go ahead and take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter number 7, please.
Amen.
Go ahead and get this thing started off right.
Bless him, Lord. Bless your heart, son. Don't pray the Lord.
wrote down all my scripture and stuff so I wouldn't be thumbing around up here. Ask y'all if y'all would please stand for the reverence reading God's Word, please. Matthew chapter number 7 in your King James Bible. If you ain't got a King James Bible,
you ain't got no Bible.
There's a couple of verses of scripture we're going to read here and get this thing started. I'm going to start in Matthew chapter, verse number 13. It says, the Bible says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few that be that find it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, Lord, for the opportunity to be able to stand behind this sacred desk, Lord. Present your word. Lord, I pray, Father, that you'll give me liberty and unction, Lord, to preach this message, Lord, like you've given it to me. Dear Lord, I pray for unction, Lord, from the Holy One. Lord, you just touch me, Lord, in a mighty way. Father, I pray you be with this meeting, Lord. If anyone here be lost and undone, dear Lord, on that wrong way, Father, I pray that you'll just help them, Lord, that you'll speak to them, dear Lord. I pray, Father, that anyone be lost and undone, that you'll save them by your marvelous grace, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for not giving up, Lord, and thank you. I thank God you're still in this soul-saving business. Lord, I pray you just touch us all in a mighty way tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
And Brother Tracy called me, or talked to me and told me this. At the time he said something, I started thinking, what am I going to preach about? What am I going to preach about? So I got to thinking and got to reading some things I had and some notes and things like that. And I come to the scripture and a couple pieces of scripture, and it kind of went away a little bit like it was two, almost two topics, and then it come back together. I just want to thank the Lord for it. And if I can just present it to me as the Lord is presenting to present y'all as the Lord presented to me, I'll be doing all right. In the verse I was reading, it says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that lead to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few that be that find it. I was reading this verse here, Brother Tracy. It looks like we've got two roads here. We've got two ways. Hey, you're either going to live and die and go to heaven. You're dying and going to hell. You got one or two. Ain't no in between. You ain't going to be working your way to it. Look at that narrow way. And to the world, the narrow way, being in church looks kind of like a harder way to go. It looks harder because the broad way is easy. Amen. When I was lost and undone, I tell you what, I was in a lot of deep sin. Amen. I was living with a girl, fornicating, doing drugs, smoking, chewing tobacco, all that mess. I was just getting as far as I could. Thank the Lord I didn't get in trouble. Thank the Lord I didn't get a married and divorced and have a bunch of kids, nothing like that. Hey, nothing but the grace of God, by the way. Amen. I want to thank the Lord for it. Thank the Lord for protecting me. Lord, while I was even lost, He protected me, knowing He had something in store for me. But the Broadway, it seems a little bit easier. It seems glamorous. You look on TV and everybody's got all this money. They're happy. They're jumping around. They got everything they want on the TV show. They look real happy. But you ain't seen behind the scenes, amen. Look at people like Elvis lived a glorious life. He just lived like the king, amen. And then he was taking pills and it killed him. Michael Jackson gave everything he had just to get a night's sleep. Just trying to go to sleep and it killed him. They think they find this happiness, but that money don't find no happiness. Seems like the one's got the most problems, one's got the most money, yes, money, amen. I just seem to be broke and happy, and I have to be rich and not happy, amen. But it's appealing to the flesh. Everything that the world offers is really appealing to the flesh. Even to a saved man, it's hard. It's the temptations is out there, amen. When you got women walking around, they got short dresses on, showing everything the good Lord give them, amen. And it's just nothing but a temptation under them. And if young ladies walk around and got something on you shouldn't be wearing, and a man looks at you and he's lusting over you, it's just as much your fault as his. You put it out there for them to see, amen. You put it out there, amen. But I was just looking. I don't want to get off the topic here, but he claims to be better.
That's good.
He's deceiving. That's what it is. As the Bible says right here, it says that leadeth to destruction. It looks all fine and dandy on the outside. It looks all peachy. Like everything's real good. Everything's real nice. About that time, it's deceiving you. That's all it's doing, is deceiving you. But it's the enter ye in at the straight gate, narrow. I looked up the word narrow in my little book, and it says it means that one must come through the narrow gate in order to reach the path that leads to eternal life. Amen. And to tell you, that path is Jesus, by the way. In case y'all's wondering, the path is Jesus. Amen. In John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you go back right there, it says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You ain't going to get there working your way. You can't shuck out a bunch of money and say, hey, I'll pay for the fellowship hall. I'll give a little more money, a little bit of this, that, and other. You'll be giving all your money away and go straight to hell if you ain't saved. Amen. I was talking to a buddy of mine a couple of nights ago. He called me up, and it was about 12 o'clock in the middle of the night, and he called me up. He's one of my old boys I used to run with. He drinks all the time, and I love him to death, but I can't be around him. I can't be around that same old crowd, you know. And he called me up, and he said, Pete, I want you to come up here, and we're finna drag race this car. We used to always love racing, all kind of stuff, this, that, when I was lost, you know. And I said, I can't do it. I know they was all drinking. There's probably 50 people over there. They was all drunk, and they don't tell what they was doing. I don't want no part of it, dude. It ain't that I couldn't. I may could have handled it. But what if somebody walks up and says, what's that feller? Ain't that boy that preaches down there at Calvary? They looked at me and they said, I talked to him. I said, well, brother, I said, well, what's going on with you? And he got real kind of sentimental. You know, when them drunks get all crying and want to talk to you, you know. So I just let him go ahead and go in and talk. So as he was talking, he said, Pete, I'm proud of you. He said, I know you used to have the nastiest mouth I ever seen. He said, but let me tell you, you were never a drunk. You didn't always drink when you come over here. Sometimes you did, sometimes you didn't. So I don't understand why you can't come hang out with us. We drinking, but you ain't like you's a drunk. Ain't like you can't handle it. You handle it then, you know. But I said, I can't do it, brother. I just can't do it. I can't be around you. Let me tell you a little story. It's about 6 months after I got saved, amen. I bought a little single wide trailer, put a little bit of land, and I'm trying to fix it up, trying to make it nice, you know, to be nice and to live in. And I was up there working, not just me and the Lord, and I was getting kind of lonely. You know how you get, and I was just like, man, I was just getting frustrated with stuff. There's so much to do, and I was just about aggravated, and I said, I sure would just like to just hang out with somebody, just talk to somebody. And he says, and I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just call my buddy. I might just ride over and just talk to him just for a minute. Just for a minute. It won't take just for a second. I just see him. I mean, it said Jesus was a friend of sinners. I said, I can be too. But so I got old Toyota truck, and I got in that thing, and I was heading down the road, and old truck run good. And I pulled in that boy's driveway. It ain't about 4 or 5 miles from my house. Pulled in, driving the truck cut off. I said, what is this? I was trying to crank the truck, trying to get it back going. I couldn't figure out just what was going on with it. And they was all up there. He'd probably 10 or 15 of them building a shed. All these boys up here helping this fella. Yeah. I'm up here building my house. I ain't got nobody but the Lord help me, but thank the Lord for helping me. That's right. I almost got a little jealous. I was like, nah, I'm up here with hell, no, I'm up here working on a house. They won't even help me, but they'll build a shed in 2 days, this fella, you know. Yeah. And I was just sitting there, and here come one walking up. He's a good friend of mine, just good buddy, but I don't know if he's lost or saved, but I don't think he's saved. Anyway, he come walking up, and him got to talking, and he said, what's wrong with us? I don't know. Things flooding out or something. I don't know, but I got to work messing with it, and he said, well, I'm gonna tell you what. He was telling me some little story he had to tell me, and I got into telling that story with him, and I was just laughing. I said, yeah, man, I tell you what. He was laughing about that. About that time, I said a cuss word. Ain't cussed since I got saved. I was standing right there with that young man. Ain't been 5 minutes now. I said a cuss word. Just telling the old story, the old same old story you used to tell, you know. And I said, man, I tried to cover it up and didn't point it out or nothing. You know, and the Lord smote my heart right there. He said, that's why you can't be over here. That's why you can't be over here. Been over here 5 minutes, you're already cussing. Imagine what a day would do. If I got back over there, it was all dry, I would grab a beer, you know. I don't know what would happen, but I didn't want to be there. I was just sitting there, and I said, Lord, help me get this thing running. I got back in, and he fired it up, and I went down there, and I had an old cherry picker down there. I said, let me get that cherry picker from you. I guess give him the reason to be there, I reckon. But I'll see y'all boys later, and I drove out and didn't go back for a while. You know. But just like it, I was just thinking, I couldn't be around with the old things of life, because 5 minutes, I was already doing something I shouldn't have been doing. I'm finding out chasing rabbits in just a minute. This is where the Lord kind of switched the gears on me. If you would, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, please. Amen. Yep. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I want to start reading verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. The Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, and also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Right now, I want to look where it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Purge himself from these. And it goes up to verse number 16, where it says, but shun profane and vain babblings. Shun that stuff. And then it, right there it says, and they will increase unto more ungodliness. Just like if I'd have stayed with him right there, that little bit of vain, that little bit of talking, that would have led to more ungodliness. There'd have been more stuff going on. Ain't no telling what would have happened. I'd have been in a bar 2 days later after that. And ain't no telling. If I just sat there and dwelled in that what was going on, the things of this world, amen. But it says, purge himself from these, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Amen. I just want to just point out, when you do a little bit of sin, life turns into a lot of sin before you know it. I'm going to get that in just a second. And I was looking at Psalms 31:12, I'm forgotten as a dead man out of my mind. I'm like a broken vessel. I want to be in, as it says in verse 21, I say, a vessel unto honor. Amen. That's what I want to be, is a vessel unto honor. I don't want to be one of those broken vessels, you know. I don't want to be a broken vessel. You ever broke a bowl and tried to glue it back together? It ain't never the same. You might break it, turn it around, make it look kind of good, but you can't never use it the same way you used to. Just like if you used to break your life and mess up real bad, the Lord might not be able to use you just like He would have you, you know. It's like if I'd got married and had kids and got a divorce and that kind of thing, I won't be able to preach, amen. Yeah, right. Said that the bishop is to be a husband of one wife, amen. Yeah, right. In Psalms 23:3, I'm glad, I thank the Lord, He can still restore you. Yeah. Even if you do get a little bit busted up, a little bit broken up, yeah, Lord can sure restore you. It said, He restoreth my soul, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, amen, for His name's sake, amen. I was talking to that fella. He said, Peter, it's just not my time. He said, I'm proud of you now. Because at the end, he kind of got a little sentimental with me because, you know, I was about ready to just tell him, you know, I'm ready to hang the phone up. I'm tired of hearing it. And he said, Pete, I'm glad it's your time. I'm glad what's done happened. I can see the changes made in your life. He said, but it just ain't my time yet. How much time you think you got? Just how much time you think you got? And see, what? Don't say it's not your time. A lot of people think, it ain't my time yet. Walk out of them church or get in the car wreck, and they're going off into eternity. Amen. That's it. You don't know how much time you got. You don't know when the Lord might just come back tonight. If you ain't right sitting back here, somebody has to have to take over the service, because we're going to be gone. We're going to be out of here. I was looking out in that same, this Lord kept switching his gears right here. But it said in 2 Timothy, the very next verse, verse number 22, that's where I want to get to talk to the young people. It said, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So I was looking at that. The very first word in that verse right there is flee. Flee, flee, flee. Just like I had to do when I left, I had to get out of there real quick. I had to flee from there because it wasn't long. I ain't no telling what I'd have been doing. I had to flee from it. I just like that happened. I had to flee. And I want to speak to the young people. You think the things you do now is bringing honor to glory, honor and glory to God. The things you're doing right now, just evaluate your life. You'll know whether or not you're honoring and glorifying God. You'll know whether or not you're on the right road. You're on that right path. You're on that narrow path. You're on that broad way. It don't take much to know. You know in your heart. You know. That's what I want to get at. Your brother testified over here about how you stood up and smoked a cigarette. Brother, you won't ever be able to testify and say, I never smoked a cigarette, because you have. You won't be able to stand up and testify and say, I never drunk a beer, because I have. I can't stand up and testify. A lot of things I've done, I can't stand up and say I didn't do. I listened to a Phil Kidd CD. He's a preacher, and he was preaching. He said he had a little young boy with him on this trip. He said, son, I want you to, when I get ready to preach, I want you to get up there and stand up behind the pulpit and tell your testimony. He sat there for a minute. He said, what's wrong? He said, brother kid, I ain't really got a good testimony like you got. He said, well, what do you mean you got a great testimony? He said, not now, brother kid. You know, you done all that drinking and drugs and running from the law and things like that. He says, I ain't got that. He said, preacher, he said, I was saved. I was 8 years old at the family altar. I've been going to church all my life. My daddy's a preacher. I never done anything wrong. I ain't never been in church. I'm a straight A student. Ain't never drunk a beer. Ain't never smoked a cigarette.
Amen.
He looks over at Brother Kitty and said, what you crying about? He said, that's the kind of testimony I want my kids here.
Amen.
That's the kind of testimony I want my kids here.
Amen.
That you ain't got to have the scars everybody else has. You ain't got to have the scars to get to heaven. He don't say you got to go through all that bad stuff to get to the good stuff. Amen.
Amen.
The things you're looking at right now, the things you're looking at. Now listen up, young people. Listen up. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there. And Lord knows, the things you look at right now, whether it be a dirty magazine your mom and dad don't know you got, something you got hid up under your bed, are you watching late night TV and all the television going on, amen, looking at all this evil stuff that's happening, and you think it's all right, I'll dabble a little bit in this. I can watch this show. It'll be, it ain't gonna hurt me. What's it gonna hurt? It's a TV show. Just looking at a magazine, amen. It's just calling a girl on the phone and talking real sweet to her, how I know it ought not be. The things you look at right now, you'll remember for the rest of your life. I guarantee you. I'll be reading my Bible sometimes. Now, this is the God's honest truth. Lord knows. I'll be reading my Bible sometimes, and all of a sudden, Daddy, I'll be looking down there, and all of a sudden, I'll remember a movie from way back with some wicked, wicked mess in it. And all of a sudden, I'm just like, where'd that come from? You know, I'm trying to get rid of it. I'm trying to get out of that. What you know? Where's that even coming from? I ain't thinking about that kind of stuff no more. And all of a sudden, it's popping up in my head. Amen. Old magazine I looked at a long time ago. Those things are vivid, real vivid. The devil's gonna throw that back in your face every time you turn. Remember what he used to do? Remember what he used to do? Oh yeah.
That's right. Amen.
The things you listen to right now, just the same way. All that wicked music turning on in the car when your mom and dad ain't looking. All that mess. When you're in church, all I listen to is Christian music. That's all I listen to, Christian music. When you get back in church, you listen to rap, rock and roll, all that mess, you think, well, that ain't hurting nothing. It ain't hurting a thing for me to listen to that music. It ain't hurting nothing just to play it just a little bit. It ain't that bad, amen. I tell you, I'm a plumber by trade. I was walking around a job site the other day, and the framers had some wicked music playing. It was just some bad, bad music playing. I'm walking around the edge of this building, and I was trying to keep godly songs on my tongue. And I was just in one of those moments where you're thinking about everything else. And I come around there humming that song that was playing because I listened to it lots of times before that. Before I got saved, I'd listened to that song, and that stuck in my head. You remember real good the things from back then, real vivid. The devil's going to throw them up in your face every chance he gets. And he's going to tell you, used to listen to that mess. Used to do. That's what the Bible says, as for some of you. Things you do right now. Like the brother said, he started smoking cigarettes before he was 12 years old. I was about the same way. It wasn't very long after that we tried drinking a little bit. I can't never say, hey, I didn't ever try smoking. I didn't ever try drinking. My daddy, he knows how he was right there with me. A lot of things me and my daddy done together we shouldn't have been doing. Daddy, he was on drugs the better part of my life. Most part I know he was messed up on drugs, and I ain't saying nothing he wouldn't say. He was a messed up. That's all it was to it. And it got to the point where I thought, he's bound to die any day now because ain't no change this. Ain't no turning back from this. It took him waking up and sleeping in a man's yard for him to realize he needed to change his lifestyle. I guarantee you one thing, it wasn't nothing but the glory of the grace of God that saved that man right there. That saved my soul, amen. But the things you do, things you listen to, the things you're looking at, going to affect you for the rest of your life. Things that are right now. I'm advising you, because I've been there. I'd advise you right now just to not to do that. Just keep your eyes on God and things of God. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
It says flee youthful lust. It don't say dwell in just a little bit. It don't say play here and there with them. It says flee from it. Get away from it. Amen. Think again before you do this. Think again. And you know who I'm talking to. Doing these things, you might be just heading down the wrong road, you know.
Amen.
Ain't no good place to be. 2 Timothy 2:22, it says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow.
There you go.
Righteousness.
Amen.
But follow faith.
Amen.
But follow charity.
Amen.
Peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Amen. Follow is pursue with intensity. I heard somebody say the other day, he said, I was running for the devil wide open. Why not running for the Lord wide open? When I was lost under, I was drinking, partying every weekend. I mean, wide open. If I could be there, I was there. I was doing everything I could. If I get my hands on, let me do it. I'd do it. I was running just wide open as I could, just for the devil. Now that I'm saved, I want to run wide open for the Lord now.
Amen. That's right.
I don't want no more of that old stuff. Righteousness, those things that are constant with the character of God. Amen.
Amen.
Faith is the belief in God's word. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Charity is devotional love given regardless of its recipient's worthiness. I sure wasn't worthy when the Lord saved me. I was just thinking, how you know if you're on the right road or not? I can't tell if am I on the right road? Am I on the right path? Amen. If you would, turn to John chapter number 3, please. John chapter number 3, verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, 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 I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter in the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. I thank the Lord when I got saved. That was a rebirth right there. That was being reborn. Amen.
Amen.
I was sitting there at that huddle house booth, and I looked at my daddy. I said, Daddy, I said, something just changed. Something just happened. Amen. I said, feel like a big old burden has been lifted off of me. Amen. I was crying. I tell you, I ain't never cried that hard in my life. Amen. I stood up, and I looked at daddy. I'm going to take a lap around the huddle house. I said, well whatever you going to do, do it, man. But all I want to do is praise the Lord. Amen. He took a lap around that huddle house, came around the other side. He come right there. He was starting off real good, real fast. He come right there and said, "Woo!" You know the whole house that big. I thank God. Thank God that He makes house calls. Amen. You ain't got to be in a church house to get saved. You can be in a huddle house. You can be at your house. You can be at your mama's house. You can be at the Waffle House. Amen. Thank God that He makes house calls. Amen. But right there in John 3:3, it says, "Let the man be born again." Amen. See, I was missing something. See, I knew that something was happening. Something's going on. Amen. And the longer I bowed my head, the worse it got, amen. But at the same time, the better it got. Oh, I stood up and looked around. I said, good. Just couldn't believe what was going on. It was like just all of a sudden everything's been lifted off. I felt like a brand new one, amen. That's what happens, amen.
That's right.
2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. A new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Let me read that to you one more time. In case you wouldn't listen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. See, the reason I talked to my daddy the other day, he said, even after I was saved, I tried to go back to that old life. He said, I couldn't even get high. He couldn't get the things back then. Old things have passed away. You can't go back here no more. You can try, but it wasn't everybody saying you can't get back here no more. Just like I couldn't hang around with them boys no more. I couldn't be there. I couldn't be around what they were doing, amen, because old things have passed away, amen. That old me wasn't there no more. See, I used to have a witness right there with them. I could talk to them, was real close to them. I knew everything about all of them, amen. But all of a sudden, I got saved. I couldn't go back over, and I tried to. Oh, I tried to hang out with them, but there was something that wasn't there, amen. Something was gone, amen. I didn't know what to do, what to change, but I knew I was saved, amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Them things are gone with. I ain't got to worry about that no more, amen. All them old sins I was committing, all them old vile things I was doing, amen. Hey, when I get up there to heaven, all the Lord's going to see it's the blood of Jesus, amen. He ain't going to see none of that old stuff. He ain't going to see none of that stuff I used to do, amen. I want to thank the Lord for it. He ain't going to see that no more, amen.
Thank you. That's good preaching.
2 Corinthians 13:5 said, examine yourself whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own self that Jesus Christ is in you? That was in a question form right there. It says, know not your own self that Jesus Christ is in you. Hey, when Jesus Christ moves in, something's liable to poke out, amen. You're liable to see some fruits here and there developing, even if you don't even want them to, amen. I knew I got saved and thank God for it, but I wasn't striving to be just what I could be in the church, amen. The first Wednesday, I didn't go to church. That Wednesday, I had something to do, but going to the guy's house and stuff like that, something wasn't there. Something that old witness was gone with. I said, well, I can't hang around this no more. What do I do now, you know? I didn't know, but thank God I got in church and got around godly people, amen. That discipleship. Preacher preached one time on discipleship. He said, like an arrow's being made in the woods, amen. The old Indians would take a stick. They'd take that stick and they'd stand it up around a whole bunch of other straight sticks. They'd put it a little close to the fire and they'd take it out and let it cool again. Yeah. Put it close to the fire and let it take it out again. Just like life's been going on, Lord will straighten you up. He'll put you right there close to that fire. He'll get you real hot. I'll say, it takes you back. Yeah. And just loves on you a little bit. I want to love on the Lord like the Lord's been loving on me, amen. I just want to thank Him for it, amen. Thank You for that salvation, amen. Because it ain't nothing I done, you better believe it. Ain't nothing in me worth nothing, amen. If I deserve anything, it'd be the foot of hell right now, amen. I'd be just as deep down in hell and sin as far as I can get, amen, if I got what I deserve. Thank God, He saved my soul. I go back to where the Broadway, you know, it looks real glamorous. Looks real good, boys. All your buddies running around, they got nice cars, and they got the pretty girl in school, all that jazz, and that don't mount nothing, though. All that is building up scars, amen. Hey, why y'all young, y'all ain't got to have the scars I got.
That's right.
You ain't got to say, hey, I just started talking to a young lady about 6 or 7 months ago. Hey, we've been courting here about 5 months, and I was talking to her. We got a lot in common as far as the testimony. She goes to church with me out there, and I talked to her, and a lot about the same things, you know. Hey, we got the same kind of testimony. She wish she'd go back and change a lot of things. Right. As do I. Right. I wish I'd go back and change, but I can't. Nothing you can do about them.
Right.
That scar is there. That scar is there. Right. Once you do it, it's done. It's done with. Amen. Ain't no going back and taking it back and saying, well, I was pure. No, you ain't.
Come on.
Can't take it back.
Amen.
Can't take it back.
Amen.
Don't let the devil say you pack a lie and say, well, as long as I don't tell anybody, it's all right. Don't let the devil say you know, pack a lies. Just because don't nobody know about it, Lord knows about it.
Right.
And if you proclaim that you say you're a child of God, He's going to chastise you for it. Wasn't very long after I got saved, I was learning about things I needed to be doing. I'd done something I shouldn't have done. Just being honest, done something I shouldn't have done. Wasn't about 2 weeks after I got saved, and boy, it tore me up.
Yeah.
It wasn't about another week, done the same thing again. It tore me up. And that third time, it took 3 times for my old hard head. For the Lord beating me over the head.
Yeah.
Done something I shouldn't have done again. I sat there and cried my eyes out. Said, Lord, what is this? What's going on? He's the chastising hand of the Lord. Said, you can't do that no more. You can't do that no more. And I thank God He took that stuff out of my life. Took every bit of it out. You don't know just how long you got, though. Listen to a story Brother John Morgan told me. He talking about a fella that thought he had another day. Long story short, he said he was crying out there talking to Brother John. He said, you going to preach that revival tomorrow, ain't you? He said, yes. He said, well, I'll get saved there then. I got something I got to do first before I get saved. He said, Brother, you might not have tomorrow. And that man died that day. He didn't have tomorrow. And I don't know what happened, but if he didn't get right before he left, He's lifting His eyes in hell today, amen.
That's right.
I'll read the first scripture we read to start with one more time. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction.
That's right.
And many there be which go in thereat. You notice that kind of falls in line with a lot of people's going the same way.
Yeah, that's right.
You look around, a lot of people's going the same way. They're going the worldly way. They go in this big old church where they take their name off the sign outside. They don't say Baptist no more.
Yeah,
It says something about communities or something, you know.
Amen.
I don't know. I don't know what it's standing for. I ain't never been there. I can't put my mouth on it. I don't know.
Right.
I don't think I'm going there either. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Reading that scripture right there strikes fear in my heart, because there's going to be few that find it. And the Bible says it's going to be few, but in number, it's going to be a lot of people. Don't get me wrong. But it's going to be few compared to the number that don't find the gate.
Amen.
I think about that. I think it's a look into a... You got two roads here. You got one road. Looks kind of rocky, real narrow. You know, kind of curvy. You look over here, and you got this other road. It's real wide. Paved streets, real slick. Easy walking there. Which one are you going to take? You going to take that narrow road? Might look a little bit tougher. But the end of it's the glory.
Amen.
Oh, this old Broadway over here. It's a lot of fun going down it. When you get to the end of it, you stay on that Broadway, you're going to wind up in hell. Because straight is the gate.
Amen.
And narrow is the way that leadeth unto temptation. Ain't no third gate there. Ain't no third gate. Ain't no gate where I can live on this side, live on that side. It don't happen. I thank God he allows you to turn. I was on that Broadway. I was wide open, just fast as I go, headed that way. But when the Lord, just like I was thinking about how a train will switch a track, you know. The train's going through the wide open. All of a sudden, there's a track this way. And right then, when I got saved in that huddle house, that's when the Lord switched that track. And I was headed that way. Ain't been the same since. Read one more time. It says, John 14:6, Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I want to urge you right now, if you're lost, you know you're lost. Right here's where you find the help. Old fashioned altar, just asking the Lord, and he'll save you. He said, if you ask him, he'll save you. I want to thank you, Brother Tracy, for allowing me to be up here. Allow me to preach this message, brother. That's all I got. Thank you, brother.
Amen.